Welcome to Dialogue with Diversity on Chin Radio. Each week, Dr. Case Ganim features guests from all walks of life and ethnic backgrounds. Let's join Dr. Ganim now on Chin 97.9.
Hello and good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Dialogue with Diversity on another show on a Wednesday from noon until 1. And we have different shows for you all the time, of course, mostly talking about diversity. But the month of September has been a month of peace. Well, we're hoping that it will be a month of peace because there's a whole team of people who are organizing events during the month of September on the issue of how to live together in peace. And I have interviewed two or three of them in the past week and one also the week before that. And in fact, next week it'll be the same thing. But today we have four people who are involved in this. And some of the real initiators and organizers of it. And as usual, we have gender balance. So we have two fairly old men here, and we also have two young ladies. So we'll start with the men, because they've been involved in this for, I think, a bit longer, simply because they happen to be have been around for a long time. And actually, they are friends of mine, so I can tease them, and they're about the same age as me, and so I can still tease them even more. And so, and they've been on the show before. Actually, Peter, you didn't make it last year.
I didn't.
Yes, exactly. But Bill, of course, you've been, this is your fourth time, I think, here.
Yes.
Yeah. Good. Okay, so the Ottawa Peace Festival is taking place this month of September. And Bill Banasia has been one of the prime movers of this whole project. So I'm going to ask him to introduce himself first. We'll start with him, even though he's been here on this show three or four times before, because I'm sure you've all forgotten who he is. So, Bill, you come from India originally?
Yes, mm-hmm. I come from India, and I came to Canada 45 years ago. So, I mean, when somebody mentions coming from India, that sounds... Yes. Quite far,
I know.
But the reason my journey, to this is, I'm a political scientist and very much interested in searching for the meaning of peace. And as a political scientist, in the end, I came to this conclusion: for me, the peace means not to be killed and right not to kill. So peace to me is non-killing. Mm-hmm. And that's what has driven me. So my journey has been, I started with working with the federal government here in the Canadian Foreign Service with postings in London, Berlin and Bonn. And then after my retirement, joined Ottawa U as a senior fellow. And leaving Ottawa U, then just got into this full-time volunteer work. Mm-hmm. In peace, as a co-founder of the Canadian Department of Peace Initiative, our Civilian Peace Service Canada, and Peace Festival. And we have been doing this now for 4 years. This will be over 4 years. So delighted to be here, and thank you very much, Case, for inviting us to your program and giving us an opportunity to reach out to your listeners.
Well, I'm quite thrilled and actually honored to be on your team doing an event as well with you on the 27th of September. And we'll mention that later on. Okay. I just wanted to say to you that some people say that peace is not just the absence of killing, but in fact the presence of justice amongst people, right?
Exactly. No, it's there, definitely. But when I mentioned about killing, it's because once you take that killing out, why do people kill?
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of is the cause which that generates more killing, more violence. But to have all that, you have to have the inner peace. Mm-hmm. Without that inner peace, it's difficult to bring that kind of outer peace, inner peace outside. So you're right. I mean, there are lots of these questions about human rights, social justice, inequalities to be also dealt with. And our festival program reflects all of those dimensions, multi dimensions of peace.
Okay, thank you. And Peter Stockdale is our other male guest here. And I remember that I met you about, I think, 9 years ago, Peter, or eight years ago, because you put on a debate or a discussion on Middle East peace on Parliament Hill. And Caroline Parrish was the chair of that meeting, I remember.
She was talking,
and the discussion was between the Jewish side and the Arab side, and I think that was the first time I met you. In fact, you launched me into the idea of establishing the group Potlucks for Peace that I then established for dialogue between Jews and Arabs.
Yes.
So tell us about yourself. Now, were you born in India as well?
Not as far as I know, no. No, I was born in England, in London, and but transferred quickly with my parents to Vancouver, where I grew up there, and then stayed for a good part of my life. Then went to do my master's in England, so that reconnected me with Britain and British-ish things. But I guess I've always been two things: intensely curious on the one hand, and on the second hand, interested in the other. And so that's meant that I've been interested in things international, things human rights, things Aboriginal, which means I've been working with Aboriginal people. I've worked with Jesuit Mission North on Manitoulin Island with my then wife, Chilean wife, of course, who was a refugee from Chile from the coup, and then got into multiculturalism, then into a little bit of international development, then peace building, and now I'm working at Citizenship and Immigration.
That's your daytime job.
That's my daytime job.
All right. Yes. Okay. And your background is in what? In
political science. Yes.
Science. Same. Yeah.
Yes. Both of us are terribly deep political scientists. Yes. I'm afraid.
Okay.
Now it can be said. Now I'm a peace addict.
And what is your? You have a kind of a segment of this peace festival that you have been promoting and actually working on for several years. So what was that? What is that?
I have several parts of it, I guess three or four. The first one is, do we want to talk about the event as such right now?
No, just the name of the...
There's the Paddle for Peace, the Path of Peace. There's the, if you see two P's, it's usually got something to do with Peter.
Yes.
the Peace Park Proposal event also on the for the National Capital Peace Council.
Yeah. Okay, so what we'll do then, we're going to have a break in about 3 minutes, but before we do that, we have two young ladies here who are dying to introduce themselves, I'm sure, to our listeners. And, okay, so we'll start with Jennifer. I think I spoke to you a little bit more than Cindy, right?
Yes.
Yes, hi. Okay, Jennifer.
What's hi your? There.
Jennifer Stackhouse.
Jennifer Stackhouse, yes. And I am Programs Manager of Prana Shanti Yoga Center. And Prana Shanti translates to peaceful energy. And
really? In which language is that?
Sanskrit.
Okay.
Yeah, and we are working with Bill and Peter and with Cindy, who you'll meet in a moment, to host an event, a film called For the Next Seven Generations, which Cindy will talk a little bit more about. At Prana Shanti, however, we work day-to-day to help promote peace within ourselves, within our community, and globally by offering yoga classes, meditation classes, kirtan concert events, lots of interesting workshops, and all of which really help promote peace within.
Okay, and what is your background? How did you get into this?
I've been working towards the role that I'm in now for quite some time. I did my Hatha yoga teacher training about 9 years ago, and I've been teaching yoga since. I recently graduated from Kundalini yoga teacher training, so that was a wonderful experience, and Cindy and I actually studied for the year together for Kundalini yoga. I've always had a passion for helping people, In every job that I've done, I have a strong business management background, but I've always worked for companies who are helping people evolve. I worked for 4 years for a treatment center for men, which I thoroughly enjoyed. I started teaching yoga there and then continued on to become business manager. And after some time there, I decided, you know, I really believe in the philosophy of yoga, of helping people evolve spiritually. Mm-hmm. And so I decided to move into that full time. I taught full time for almost a year and started teaching at Pranashanti, and then soon after became programs manager there.
Okay. And last but not least, Cindy Godi.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes, my name is Cindy Godet. I'm a Métis woman from Saskatchewan, born in the area of Batoche, which is where the 1885 Northwest Resistance occurred. I moved to Ottawa about 5 years ago, and since being here, I've just recently completed my master's at Carleton, which was studying Aboriginal studies and looking at memory and how memory shapes our consciousness, shapes who we are. So basically focused on Métis women and memory, and looking at how an event in our history has shaped how we see ourselves, how we perceive ourselves, and how we experience ourselves. So since my time in Ottawa, it's really opened up my world into the Aboriginal culture, my own history, and claiming that and being way more involved in the Aboriginal community, in the teachings, and in it as a way of life. So I'm delighted that once again this year I can participate in the Peace Festival by showing the film for the next seven generations. I've spent time with the 13 Indigenous grandmothers, and I've screened it about 12 times across Canada since last year. So it's an honor to be sharing this with Pranashanti, to be here and to be sharing a bit more of the film, and to be have an opportunity to share the teaching. Thank
Excellent.
You.
Excellent. All right. So we're going to have a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk to these four individuals here. Thank you very much for joining us on this show.
Tour the world. Tour the world. Chin Radio 97.9. Tour the world. Tour the world. Time for another Chin Radio traffic update. This traffic report is brought to you by the Ottawa Sun. Local news, sports, entertainment, and opinions delivered to your door every day. For home delivery, 613-739-7200.
Talk to you about it all. According to the OPP, on any of the major routes, really pretty quiet at this point on the Queensway as well as the 416. According to Ottawa Police, an accident in the 1500 block of Maryvale. Diamond Self Storage offers a storage solution like never before in Ottawa. Free truck and driver at move-in for your convenience. Stop by and check out Diamond's state-of-the-art facilities or visit DiamondSelfStorage.com today. I'm Adele Sperling, and that's the latest traffic on Chin 97.9.
Yes. Welcome back to Dialogue with Diversity on Chin Radio 97.9 FM. We are talking about the Ottawa Peace Festival. But before we get on to that, I wanted to let our listeners know, and we now have lots and lots of listeners, that we are going to launch a health part of the program, in the sense that approximately once a month I will host a physician or a PhD or a psychologist, something like that, to do with health, to talk to us about one particular subject. And on the 6th of October, it will be the first one, so that, and perhaps in November there will be another one and so on. I'll announce it ahead of time. But we have a specialist who deals with something called the male menopause. Okay, so we all know about the menopause of women, but there's also male menopause, and perhaps there are a couple of people in this room who might be suffering from the male menopause. We don't know. But he will come and talk about it, and then he'll take questions in the second half of the show. So this is Dr. Hazim Hamdi. Hazim Hamdi, he specializes in this. 6th of October, Wednesday, 12 o'clock, of course, as usual. All right. Back to you, Bill Banesia. tell us about the kind of general view of the whole program that's taking place in the second half of September.
Case, this is a 12-day annual event, and we have 17 events in these 12 days. Our goal was to have one peace event every day during this period. Mm-hmm. And the period, as you know, marks the two United Nations International Days of Peace and Nonviolence. So the spirit of that was to have a peace, how peace, unity, and harmony can be achieved in this conflict-ridden world. And so that those activities relate to that. And the 17 events comprise art, film screenings, peace walk, panel discussion, photograph and art exhibits. So we have got a variety of things there. And the questions which we are, the themes which are which will be covering would be, how can the music, art and meditation help build a culture of peace? Or how can our world religions promote, advocate peace? What can the ways of Leo Tolstoy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr. have in common to make our world safer? Or what are the modern alternatives to violence and wars and settling disputes? Dissent in Canadian democracy in Canada, how do peace groups deal with it? Or how can the music, art and meditation help build a culture of peace? So those are the various items, themes, which we'll be doing, and then we can go over them, you know, as you're interested. I mean, there's a lot of stuff there to talk about, and we are very pleased, actually, with the patronage from our community leaders. Mm-hmm. We have during the festival, Green Party leader Elizabeth May is being would be receiving Peace Award at one of the events being hosted by Friends for Peace Canada on October 2nd. Yes. Daniel Stringer.
Actually, Ian Pratis was my guest about 2 weeks ago. I mentioned that, but go ahead.
And Daniel Stringer, another community leader, is award winner in one of our other events, which is being organized by SGI Canada and by Mahatma Gandhi Peace Council at Carleton University. Mm-hmm. We would have and Ed Broadbent would be receiving a special award for the occasion. So there are lots of support for it. Over the 4 years, we have people have felt that this is an interesting event to go, and we have also found out ourselves that there's a tremendous amount of longing when we are at these events, and you hear people talking back on panel discussion and all that. Mm-hmm. You see there's a tremendous longing among public to talk about peace, to participate in peace, and that is not done by anyone else, actually, in this, you know, in this concerted way as we are doing through this peace festival.
Okay. So, Peter, according to the program that I have in front of me, the first event is on the 21st of September, but is there anything actually taking place right now? Say somebody, is there an exhibition, for example, the Ottawa Public Library that you know of? Go ahead.
We have two. Mm-hmm. We are right now we're running an exhibit case at Ottawa Public Library. It's the photograph exhibition of Leo N. Tolstoy. As you know, Tolstoy is the author of War and Peace and Anna Karenina, but he was also a peace philosopher. The Kingdom of God is Within is his book he wrote very late in his life, around the 80s, and that was a bestseller around that time in the late 1800s. So we have 13 exhibits, 13 photographs, which we have received from the Moscow Museum of Tolstoy. And our curator here is Kuzma Tarasov, who has put it at the public library. We started, in fact, on September 1st. So the kickoff for the event has, in a way, started. And if those who are interested in Tolstoy, seeing what he has done and all that, should visit Public Library, Ottawa Public Library at Metcalfe and Laurier. And on 20th, we would have Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s exhibit, a repeat of that, at one of the places.
Yes.
Mm. Tell us about that.
Sure, that's at the Odawa Native Friendship Center on the 21st and running till the 2nd of October.
Mm-hmm. And what's the address of that?
That is 12 Sterling Avenue. And so the idea there was to, in a photographic form, give a sense of Martin Luther King's life with an accompanying text, with a quote, chosen by Fred Sherman, and very beautifully done. So Daniel Stringer and I chose the photographs, put them in a frame, mm-hmm. and Fred put the text. Beautiful, beautiful little exhibit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what kind of attendance are you getting for these exhibits now?
Well, last year we had them at the public library, so it's a little bit hard to determine. But of course, lots of people walk by that. For the Dawa Friendship Center, this is the first time we've distributed or had it there, so I can't really give you a good sense of that one. It'll be, it'll be right there, essentially, so the walk-in traffic will see it for the Dawa Friendship Center. You've got to walk past it, so... Likewise, for the public library, if you went up to the second floor, you would see it for sure, and it was very enticing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But for the events, mm-hmm. it's been it varies from event to event. As you know, there are 17 events, so you don't know who is going to show up. Mm-hmm. And we in the peace community, I'm sure we are always thinking, whatever we see is a miracle. You remember at your event last year, we had 150 people at St. Paul University. And at Friends for Peace Festival, there was total from 10 o'clock till 4 o'clock. I don't know how many people must have passed through, might be 500, 600 people. Mm-hmm. I know in the Mahatma Gandhi Society, their event on October 2nd last year at Carlton, there were about 250 people. But there are also events where there were 20, 30 people, depending upon what triggers.
Yes.
Day of the week, mm-hmm. If it's raining or not. But what I would like to say is quite a big team effort which we put together with these 17 events. We have at least 17 groups who are working, and each group has minimum about 10 people who in a team work. So you can imagine for a festival, if you think about all the people who are involved in developing the program, there should be about 200 people. So it's a great effort. And once in a year around this time, we all come together to do it, shows the great spirit.
And do you have a sense that the number of people that attend these, the totality of this Peace Week or Peace Festival is increasing with the passage of time? I mean, is it over the past 4 years? Do we have stats? Do you have any info on that?
Well, certainly we can see growth if we look activity to activity. If we look at, say, the Path of Peace Walk that we did, mm-hmm. The first year was about 25, the second year about 35. This last year went up to 140, and we're expecting probably 500 with this year. So mm-hmm. it's quite rapid growth, really, yes. if that's any example. Yes.
This is the one in which Anita Rizvi is involved, and she should have been here as well. Mm-hmm. But we'll see whether we can get hold of her for next week. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's excellent. So you have also the first event is Paddle for Peace, right? Now, who knows more about that?
I know most about that. Yeah. Actually, I came up with the idea and. When I was out in BC, mm-hmm. and I was with a Palestinian friend of ours, of the families, and mm-hmm. she said her son is in the RCMP, and they do these paddles to bring together Aboriginal people and the RCMP. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wouldn't it be a great idea if we were doing something like that in Ottawa? And I discovered, I came back, we have been doing that with mm-hmm. the police. Oh. But what I wanted to do is to show that the canoe or the dugout can be a vehicle for peace. And so it's happened to coincide with Grandfather William Commander, who is coming out with his book with Romola Troublecock on the canoe. And he's been going around the world giving canoes, I think 50 across the world. And so, hey presto, we're having this event to focus on the canoe as a vehicle for peace. Some local and also more distant canoeist enthusiasts, such as the John Ruffin of the Canoe Museum in Peterborough, are coming up. People are welcome to join us. Oh, and Paul Dewar, of course, is going to be speaking there too.
Okay, good. Well, we're going to have another break, and I think we're going to listen to some music by Sarah Brightman. And when we come back, we'll address the ladies and ask them to talk about their project.
This is Chin Radio, celebrating the many voices and cultures of Canada at 97.9.
Did you know that over 30 million Canadians of all ages cope with serious respiratory diseases every day? Vital Air has been committed to caring for people with respiratory problems for over 30 years, providing a wide range of products and services to meet their needs, including home oxygen services, asthma management services, and CPAP, continuous positive pressure respiration. This is used for the effective control of obstructive sleep apnea, which affects nearly 2 million Canadians. Vital Air provides services that help patients breathe easier. Call 613-741-0202 and the friendly staff at Vital Air will be happy to help you. With Ottawa's international hit, Chin Radio, 97.9.
Welcome back to Dialogue with Diversity on Chin Radio, 97.9 FM. We have four guests here talking about the Ottawa Peace Festival. And let me turn our attention to the two ladies who are with us as well, because we were talking about Paddle of Peace for a start, actually being the beginning of the series of events that will take place on the 21st of September. But your show, Cindy, and your and Jennifer, is actually shortly after that. Although there's one other event by organized by Iman Ibrahim, I think, and Gord Bridik. Yeah, and that's and Iman was on the show, and she talked about that, and so was Gord last week. So let's talk about your show.
Okay, thank you. First, thank you. I want to clarify, it's not my show, it's the producer's, Carol Hart. But I want to acknowledge Bill first for all your, for contacting me and for all the work you've done to make this happen. And how it came about for us to facilitate this event during the Peace Festival was in collaboration with Prana Shanti. And they were very open to hosting and collaborating and allowing us to have a fundraiser there to show the screening of the film for the next seven generation, which fits in the Peace Festival theme, because when we think about the teachings of the indigenous people is that we have to think seven generations ahead. All our actions have impacts for seven generations. So what type of legacy are we leaving for our grandchildren's children? And in essence, that is the heart of the film. And the heart of why, for me, my involvement in the Peace Festival is crucial, because it does impact the collective consciousness of all people. And for specifically at the studio at Pranishanti, the film will be set up where they've invited us to come, which is myself and grandmother Isabel Miwasagi, which is an Ojibwe local grandmother. And we will open the film with a medicine wheel meditation. Mm-hmm. And the film lasts 80 minutes, and we will also after that have a tea and discussion for people who want to share what's emerged for them during the film festival. And we close with a drumming song so that whatever people, whatever experience has the people have had, they can fully embody that within themselves and take it with them on as they...
Okay. And where does that take place?
Well, it's going to be at Pranashanti Yoga Center, and that's at 52 Armstrong Street, actually very close to Odawa Center. So nice that all the events are being spread so nicely around the city.
I'm afraid I don't know where that is.
Okay. So it's very close to the Parkdale Market. That's a good landmark
well, that's
for
easy.
People.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we run perpendicular to Parkdale.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. That's going to be on September 25th. The beginning of the event starts at 6 p.m. and it should be done around 8 or 8:30 as we close.
Okay. Is there audience participation? Do they get onto the microphone and ask questions, or what happens?
Okay. Yes, after the film, we create a space for a dialogue, which is in essence kind of, you know, feeds, as you mentioned, Bill, the longing of the people. When we have an experience, it's important that I've learned is that people have a space then to share. So we do create a space, and the studio, Pranashanti, offers just a very safe environment for people to ask questions. There'll be two of us, Grandma Isabel and myself, that answer some questions, because we've both been have met the 13 grandmothers. We've been journeying with them for the last year. So any questions that come up or any thoughts that may be evoked as a result of experiencing this film, because it's quite a potent film. It carries a lot of medicine.
Mm-hmm. And do you expect that your audience will be mostly indigenous people or non-indigenous people or a mixture? How was it in the past when you showed that movie?
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. It varies based on who's hosting the event. You know, who's hosting the event. Sometimes it's been just circles of Aboriginal people. Sometimes it's both. Sometimes it's non-Aboriginal people. I'm sensing that more and more it becomes more of a mixed of Aboriginal people and non-Aboriginal people, which is what we what I want to create, because that's the essence of what the Peace Festival represents, and the teachings of the medicine wheel, and the teachings of the film, of unity, of coming together as one for one purpose. Even though we're different, we're still coming together at one. So it really exemplifies the teachings that we want to create through the experience.
Mm. You mentioned some grandmother's name, which escapes me now. But what? How does somebody become a grandmother other than by having children and grandchildren?
Yeah. You know,
the title is given to...
That's a good question.
Yeah. I mean, are you a grandmother?
No, I'm not a grandmother.
Not yet.
Grandmother
You're
in training.
Too young for that.
In training.
Yeah, all right.
So the teachings of the grandmother, to become a grandmother, it's really your community, the community that kind of presents that role to you. Like, it's like you've earned the role of grandmother. So there's a whole ceremony that it's created by the community, and that's supported by the community itself. So you would earn an eagle feather, you'd earn the shawl, and it's also, the role of the grandmother is about bringing balance. It is about bringing the feminine into the world. And she has a large responsibility, grandmothers. They're about prayer, the ceremony, the educating. So it's part of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
It's a role within the culture that has been forgotten, but that is really coming back through the resurgence of indigenous peoples and indigenous ways and teachings.
Mm-hmm. It's really a form of recognizing the wisdom and seniority of that person, really, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yes. And the reason I asked you that, actually, is because I come from an Arabic background, and you all, four of you, have heard the word sheikh, sheikh so-and-so, sheikh, and all these rulers of different small countries in the Middle East, for example, be sheikh so-and-so. And the word sheikh actually, literally in Arabic, means an old man. So because of that kind of presumed or proven wisdom, that person becomes a leader of that tribe or that group. And later on, with the passage of time, became the president of the country and so on. And so now we come to this kind of somewhat ridiculous situation of having a sheikh who's the ruler of the place, and he might be only 22, you know, 25 years old, simply because that word has taken that different meaning, that he's the president or he's the leader. But it's the same kind of concept.
Yeah, it is. It is a recognition of the wisdom, for sure.
I find the idea of the seven generations, that you want to do things that will... benefit the next seven generations, very laudable, very wonderful concept. Of course, it's very green. It's great that we don't see in other cultures. At least I have not seen it kind of enunciated in that way in any other culture. Do you know of any other culture that believes in that?
No,
or
I
uses
haven't.
That system? Do you, Bill? You know, they say that we are going to do things because we have to look after the next seven generations, not just people talk about, I have to make this country safe for my grandchildren. But that's two generations.
Yes.
You know, they never extended that much.
It's a very profound concept.
Yeah.
Very profound concept.
For the Aboriginal people, it's actually the law. Like, it's the great law of the Iroquois Confederacy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's part of... It's more than a concept. It is a law that governs who we are and how we live.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. And do you have another event later on in the week? Or do you have one event or two?
We're just hosting this one event this year. Mm-hmm. In the past, we've participated by offering silent auction items. Mm-hmm. And we're thrilled this year to be more involved. And we look forward to future festivals and supporting even more, for sure.
Okay, and were you involved last year, did you say?
We were, we were in a way of donating some items for their silent
auction. How many people were there at your event?
We did not host an event at Pranashanti. Mm. We just donated some items for some of
this
the
events. It was a different
It was part
forum.
Of the Friends for Peace, the Peace Day, which we have at the...
At City Hall.
At the City Hall.
Yes.
So they had made the contribution there to the silent auction, you know, which we have as part of that.
Yes.
event, you know.
Well, I go there every year, so yes. We might probably were there at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely, probably. Lots of people.
Okay, we're coming up to another short break, and Joseph is going to take over in the next few seconds. Take it away, Joseph.
Time for another Chin Radio traffic update.
No reports of any problems slowing the drive on the Queensway as well as the 416. Just had to check in with Ottawa Police. New problems at Bank and Glebe. Traffic for Hakeem Optical, the place for all your optical needs. To find a location near you, visit hakeemoptical.ca. I'm Atal Early, and that's the latest traffic on Chin 97.9.
Okay, we're back with Dialogue with Diversity on Chin Radio 97.9 FM, and we are talking about the Ottawa Peace Festival with our four guests. Let me ask you to tell us about two events that we've mentioned briefly, perhaps in a little bit more detail, about the idea of having forums, establishing forums, which would probably involve and attract larger numbers of people. I imagine that's what you have in mind, Bill.
Yeah? Yes, Case. Just to wrap up there on what Jennifer and Cindy were talking about the film, we have got another film, you know, also The Peacekeepers, which you mentioned about Iman Ibrahim on the last program spoke about. So that in itself is also a panel, a forum event, because after the film we are going to have question and answers, and we have got some experts from RCMP, some community workers who have worked in Congo to respond to that, the role of the peacekeeping in today's world. So there's a film as well as forum. We have in total about five panel forums. And they're very interesting one this year. One is a panel on conflict and peace, views from the field, and this is being organized like the Peacekeepers film by the Canadian Department of Peace Initiative, their Ottawa chapter, and CPSC, Civilian Peace Service Canada. And then we have a panel on dissent and democracy in Canada. Should dissent be confined to peace activists? This is, in, you know, with all the criticisms peace activists get, you know, with the G20 demonstration or anti-CANSEC weapons trade show, you know. So this will be a very good place for to air out those grievances or comments people have views on this.
And actually, I just going to interrupt you briefly because next week, Larry Russo is actually going to be our guest to talk about that because it's, you know, I like the title that he had for the for that event, and it is entitled "Should Dissent Be Confined to Peace Activists?" Yes. I think it's a very interesting thing. If only we would actually answer that question fully and honestly.
And then we are very much looking forward to your panel, Dr. Ghanem, which you would be chairing, and that panel is on how can our world religions promote advocate peace? And I think that's also a very thought-provoking question. What was behind that? I think we should be asking you about, because this is the panel.
Well, it's given me an opportunity to advertise my event. It is going to be actually on the 27th of this month, of September, at 7 o'clock at St. Paul University, just like it was last year. And last year we had a good attendance, as Bill Baneja mentioned earlier in the program. So last year what I did was to have about seven people to talk about their religion for, say, 5 or 6 minutes. Why do they belong to that religion? What does it do for them? What message does that religion have for them and for the world? And I thought that was done by each of the participants quite well. But what I regretted was that we ran out of time for Q&A, because there was such a great interest at the end that we didn't have enough time for all the people who wanted to ask questions. And so what I'm doing this time is to shorten the opening statement by a minute or two, so that there'll be more time for people to ask questions. And specifically, I asked them to address how their religion actually advocates peace and tranquility, not for their co-religionists. That's easy, because, you know, if you're a Muslim, you want peace for the Muslims. Well, that's, of course, natural. What else? But if you're a Muslim, do you want also to do something to promote peace for Catholics and for Buddhists or not? You know, and what, in fact, does your religion do to achieve that? So I'm hoping that each one would answer that specific question, and that people would get up to the microphone and question that and say, well, yes, you say that, but, you know. And I hope that I'll be able to moderate all the possible provocative questions that might arise from that. So we'll see.
It would be nice, actually, you know, at your forum, if these panelists could answer the question, you know, how could these faiths and the people who are leaderships in the faith could resolve big conflicts, you know, the conflicts which get into the world wars and, you know, terrorism and all that. What could they do into that? And people are very curious, because you cannot now separate religion from politics, though we may very much say, no, we want to be, but most of the times you find the two are getting very much entangled. So it's what could the religious leaders do to promote that culture of peace and resolving conflicts?
Well, I hope so, because we have actually invited people to who represent Buddhism, Hinduism, Sikhism, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, and I did not forget humanism, because, you know, people don't invite the humanists, atheists, and so on, and that group of secular people. So they were involved last year, and they were very happy that they were for the first time included. So they'll be there. And I have someone who has two religions. So we'll see. Okay. And there was another event perhaps we can enlarge on, Peter, and that's the Peace Park and the Path of Peace.
Very happy to. Okay. So if we are celebrating the International Day of Peace on the 21st, on the Tuesday, but we're also, if you can't make it to the one on the 21st, but you do want to celebrate the day, you can always go on the Path of Peace on Sunday, September 26th, starting at 11 at the Peacekeeping Monument and ending on Victoria Island, also celebrating the Circle of All Nations of Grandfather Commander again. Which will be followed by an Arts for Peace open-air music concert. And I would say this, we've been doing this for several years. It's really, what we're trying to do is establish in the capital a path or a series of walks of peace to show what the hard work that people have been doing for generations to make sure that peace reigns in Canada broadly, and Ottawa in particular. So we go a long route. So we're starting at the Peacekeeping Monument, as I say, going up through the Parliament, down along Wellington, past the Supreme Court, and then down to Victoria Island, which is the spiritual heart of the capital and where Grandfather Commander would like to have an Aboriginal Healing Center and an International Peacekeeping Center, so or Peace Building Center. And so what we're trying to do is signal to people that Ottawa, although we may be at war now, is also a place of peace and how we have managed to maintain that for generations.
Mm-hmm. I remember we talked about this maybe 3 years ago or mm-hmm. at Donna's Cafe.
That's right.
You and I. All right, so it's actually going to materialize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
very good. Okay. So let me turn to... okay, Bill, go ahead.
Please, I just wanted to say that in addition to Peace Walk, and we have a Peace Park proposal from Councillor
George Bedard.
And that would be a good one there. You know, those who are looking at the... I'm just looking at the date here for that.
The 28th
of that. And also want to add that, it's, you know, we have a lighter side to this. It may just sound very heavy and profound, and but we have a lighter side to this. And the lighter side is that we have got throughout the festival music also. We have got music at Victoria Island for both Peace Walk and for Paddle for Peace. And then we have got a concert for peace on September 28th, being organized by Sacred Initiatives and Daniel Moreau. That's a beautiful concert that I would recommend to everyone who is interested in listening to Crystal Balls. It's a very vibrational, soothing music. So that's on September 28th. We have got, as I said, art exhibitions there. And again, the music theme continues on the finale, which is October 2nd. And that whole day there, we have very interesting groups, which Ian Pratt has, you know, brings to that closing event. So we will recommend, you know, that people, when they are coming, they should be thinking about they're going to have fun and entertain and food.
And food on Peace Day for sure. And there's a free complimentary breakfast for or the Peace Park proposal thing that George Bedard, the councillor, is going to be speaking about on the 28th.
Just want to make one last pitch, Case.
Yes. That's at Donna's Express on 322 Churchill Avenue. Right? Yes.
Thank you. Okay.
Just want to make a small pitch there. It's not the intention, but since I'm a co-chair of the Canadian Department of Peace Initiative Ottawa chapter, one of the event organizers, Friends for Peace, they said for their event they would be doing on October 2nd a petition for a Department of Peace, which would be submitted to the Parliament. So that's another dimension they took. And we then thought, well, if they are doing it for that one event, why not to do it for all events? So at each of those events, we will have some people who may be there with their clipboard and requesting the audience to, if they want to, sign on that petition.
Well, certainly that would be a great thing. And is there any reason why they would not sign? That would be great. Yes, we certainly encourage them to do so. Okay, we're just have another minute and a half now. So just closing remarks from the two ladies briefly.
All right. Well, thank you again for having us here. It's a pleasure to meet everyone here face to face for the first time. And we look forward to helping our community of Ottawa and surrounding area to really participate in these events and to enjoy them, like you were saying, Bill, come out and enjoy and be inspired to create a more peaceful life for yourself, for your family, for your community, and globally. It's so important. And, you know, peace begins within. It really does. So we hope to see the listeners for a yoga class to develop that even further, and looking forward to welcoming everyone who's interested and inclined to come out to this incredible, inspiring, uplifting film for the next seven generations. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Jennifer Stackhouse. And from Cindy Waudet, a few words of wisdom.
Again, I want to reiterate the importance of just encouraging our listeners to come out and to acknowledge what you've, the space you've created here, Dr. Quay, for us to share this experience and for the four of us, which is significant in terms of coming together for the same mission, for the same purpose. So to all of us that are here, I say, miigwech, miigwech, miigwech.
Okay, and a brief announcement of an event that's coming up on the 20th. It's not part, 20th of September, it's not part of the Peace Festival, but it is of very much of relevance to people who believe in peace, and that is an event that is put on by a group called Dialogue for Democracy, and it is entitled Transparency in Government, a Hard Look at This Government, and Clive Doucette will be talking on that one, and that's Monday, 20th of September, 7 o'clock, at the St. Timothy's Presbyterian Church, 2400 Alta Vista at Randall. And I hope everybody will come. It's free, of course. And the nice thing about this event is that everybody talks, not just the speaker. So we allow everyone to have the microphone for as long as they want to converse. Finally, we have Grandfather Bill Baneja. We'll call you Grandfather Bill Baneja.
Sure, I am, actually.
To say, you have 60 seconds to say, 30 seconds to say something.
Well, I have two grandsons, so I take that as a great honor to be and set to be announced on the radio. But my on behalf of all of us, a grateful thanks to you, Case, for inviting us again at your program. And we hope that our fun and friendly events at Peace Festival will give folks a chance to know what's happening in Ottawa, to build community peace, and be convinced that there are alternatives to violence and war in Canada and abroad.
Thank you very much. See you next week.